You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Before I get to the message, I'm sitting here, Brother Martinez is singing, I'm just looking at my Bible, and I've written some notes in my Bible here for tonight. And I saw a verse that I'd like to preach on this. I'm thinking if I just may change my message, but I don't think I will. Look at verse 66, this is not my message. Chapter 8, verse 66. And on the eighth day, he sent the people away. And they blessed the king. And they went through their tents. Chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's all about the temple, the house of God. Isn't it amazing where he sent the people? Where did he send the people? To their tents. I don't know how much people had, but they had a house of God. Whew, I'm feeling that right now, Brother Jose. I'm just thinking about preaching that right now. I'm not sure. Maybe I should stay with that. That's an amazing thing. They got the house of God.
Amen.
And the people went back to their tents. You need the house of God. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. But I should want a church. I'm going to tell you, folks, the devil will always try to get you out of church. He will always try to get you out of church. And I don't give you the stories, and I'm not going to give you one, but it's regular. Again, this week, people that fell out, moved away, but they got out. They shouldn't have moved across the country, and I knew it, and they knew it. And I'm not saying you have to all stay here. Some move in the will of God. We had five couples out of our class move this summer to the ministry. Two on mission fields, and we're all happy. That's what this church, we send them out. I say you have to stay here the rest of your life, but you move to a church as strong or stronger. And here's a sweet family. They said, we moved, but we lost everything we had, especially our family. Happens all the time. And I'm not going to ever, normally when I travel to meetings, I told you this several years ago, I went to Dallas, was preaching, and 13 families, they're all not going to the same church. 13 of our families waited and waited and waited. The next week I was in Florida, 13 families waited and waited at the close of the service. And then the next week I was in Chicago area, 13 families, and 13, it just worked that way. And almost without fail, everyone said, we made a mistake. I'm not saying you have to stay here a lifetime. I'm glad when you do, but you better make sure it's the will of God, or maybe stand still. Don't lose what God has given to you.
Amen.
Just don't lose it.
Amen.
And God's been so good to us. And I know, Ms. Treiber, and I know, we know we've been here a long time. And God's not giving us any leadership against that. But I'm not going to wear out my welcome for you. One day, I know you'll want a younger man. I know that. I'm more aware of it than you are. God's not giving me a green light to leave here at all. And I hope if for some reason my health breaks and I can't pastor this church, I hope the next pastor will let me stay here. I want to be laid to rest in Santa Clara, California. And I want God to continue to bless, and I won't be on the platform. I don't need to preach once a month. I would never do that. When I run my journey and God says you can't run anymore, I'd like to just clean around here and fix around here, go door knocking and visit people and never have a prime spot again. I'm just saying, this church means more than, and whatever tent we have, that's up to God. Tonight, because we're in chapter 9, I'll move on. We're in chapter 9. It's all been about the house 59 times that our Brazilian couple families. God bless the Brazilians today. I ate that cake today. El queco. How do you spell it? Say cake. Whew! Got some more at home tonight when I get home. Have the hot dogs, then go have that cake. It's going to be awesome. My goal is 30 pounds this year. We saw last week in chapter 5, 6, and 7, 59 times he mentions the house of God. It was so important to get the house of God. So important. You need a house of God. And I know young preachers don't get, and older preachers don't get weary with me. I just believe you keep the house of God open all the time. And so much more, we need more house of God. It always grieves me, and now it's going to get darker and darker at nighttime. And you go by a Bible-believing Baptist church, and on a Sunday night, if you would drive by and see all the lights off and no cars in the parking lot, I can't understand that. Maybe it's because, Brother Chuck, I got saved on a Sunday night at church. I can't believe that we would have millions and millions and millions of dollars of buildings now, and we'd close them down on Sunday night. Here they got this house of God, and they were overwhelmed with what God gave them. Overwhelmed. And the Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon desired, he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. I like that. He came to Jonah the second time. And God came another time. So here's your new marching orders. You built for 20 years. He had 20 years left in his ministry. He said, here's what you're going to do now. And they were going to focus on this house of God. Our Father, may we realize tonight that when we get the house of God, we have a responsibility. And Lord, you gave us these properties. I think of the other property tonight, filled with Spanish people, a full choir and their orchestra and preaching and a full house tonight. You're so good. And then over here, and I just pray that God, we might recognize that we have an opportunity, but we have a responsibility. So speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, the exciting time. Solomon in chapter 8 just finished his sermon. He gave a sermon of the dedication of the auditorium building. It was the same text I used when we moved in here. And he gave a message, and then he gave a prayer, and then he gave a dedication. And now comes high responsibility time. You know, tonight in this work of God, ushers, you are responsible. You have a position of responsibility. I was watching the ushers bringing people in tonight. It thrills my heart. Walking into a place to sit down. Thank God for the ushers. Brother Sam, thank God for what you men do at this church. And I'll watch you come. There's a responsibility. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. It was in teachers' meeting this evening. Brother Reamers led it. And as he opened up what we're teaching and what we're supposed to do and giving us direction, I thank God that this morning Sunday school teachers stood in every nook and cranny, you name it. We have classes and the gymnasiums and all over the place, teaching the word of God. Thank you for your responsibility. You have children in your class. I don't know all these bus kids. I don't know all their names, but you do, Sunday school teachers, and I need you. I can't pray for them. I don't even know them all, but I need someone to pray for those kids. I need someone to pray for their homes. I need someone to pray for their families. I need some to pray for their dads or mothers in jail. Are passed away, drug overdose, you name it. I tell you, I've been taken away from the mom or dad because of conflict in the home. I want you to know that when you're a Sunday school teacher, you have a responsibility, an usher, a bus captain, a mechanic, whatever it may be, a deacon. I was overwhelmed. I was driving back from a meeting this week preaching. I got thinking about how I need to pray more for the church and the people. And God began to send comfort to my heart because we have 39 under shepherds, 39 deacons that take about 45 homes each, and they pray for the people on their list that are faithful members of this church. I tell you what, I can't get to them all. I just cannot get to them all. And then I think of all, most of you that are here on a Sunday night, somehow your name is on my list. It could be as a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, or it could be a bus driver, it could be a business owner, it could be military in your family. It could be sickness, or it could be unemployment, but most of the people here are somehow on my list. Hey, I thank God, but I can't get to it all. There's responsibility with becoming a deacon. And I thank God for our deacons. There's responsibility when it comes to marriage. Sir, you're responsible. Dear lady, you're responsible. Comes responsibility when you're a parent. You're responsible to get the people, your family, at the house of God. So it's not convenient. But our kids don't like it. I don't know if they like it or not. But who knows how the Spirit of God is going to work in their little heart. We rejoice with you. Some of your kids got saved at camp 2 weeks ago. We had three of our own kids at camp, three of our grandkids at our camp. But the baby, 10-year-old, went along with her mom and dad, and she was there, and she heard the preaching. Last Thursday night, a week ago, she came to the assurance of her salvation. I tell you, we rejoice in that. Her parents put her in a good place. I think of our Christian school, the good place. I got labored it this past week. I hear this all the time. Well, we want to put them in a school with higher academics. You can't get any higher than the Word of God. And you look at our test scores, you can't say, well, we want them to get a good job. Well, what about them getting a good place to serve God? It's higher to serve God on a mission field than it is being a multi-billionaire. Mr. Zuckerberg went over here to Harker. He graduated from there. We had a few that graduated from Bellarmine. And, you know, great schools, I'm sure. $40,000-$50,000 a year to pay, go to school there. Hey, I want to tell you something. $3,000 for a Christian school, and every teacher loves God and prays for your kids and works for your kids. They say, well, can they get good jobs? Always have. RNs, we got a lot of RNs that grew up in that school. We got a man about number two in command of one of the largest cities in America. I got a man, we got a lot working computers. Got a man showed me one of our graduates last week. Here's my office on the 16th floor, and here's my office on the 18th floor. We've got a couple of lawyers that have come through there. One was working toward a judgeship. They all get good jobs. Police officers, computer people. Well, I want higher education. My college president said, since when can you get higher than the Word of God? Public school now says you have to read by fifth grade. Mr. Biden said, I want them all reading by fifth grade. You don't go to first grade unless you know how to read. That's what kindergarten's about, getting you ready for school. There comes responsibility. In this text that I would like, I was going to go through all these verses, but you'll be able to see in chapter 8 when you back up, if a man trespass, verse 31, against his neighbor, he said, then. It's always if and then, or when and then. Verse 33, when the Israel smitten down before the enemy and they've sinned and they confess, then hear in heaven. When the heaven is shut up and they confess their sin, then hear, verse 36. Verse number 37, if there be famine and pestilence and blasting and locusts and the cities besieged, verse number 39, then hear in heaven and forgive every man according to his ways. Verse number 44, if the people go out to battle the enemy withal, and he said, listen, then hear in heaven. Verse 45, if they sin against thee, verse 46, and verse 49, then hear their prayer and forgive the people, verse 50, they sin. See, there's responsibility. I want you to see in verse number 58. The Bible says in verse 57, the Lord God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake him, that we may incline our heart unto him and walk in his way and keep his commandments and statutes and judgments. You see, God's people, they got a house, God's house. They had tents for themselves, but they got a beautiful place. But with that place came, we need to fear God. We need to keep his covenants. We need to obey. We need to do these things. God's given us so much. And to whom God gives so much, there's responsibility. Notice in chapter 9 where we are, verse 3. The Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. He dedicated the hallowed house. His prayer, God said, I heard that. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Watch, he says, here's your responsibility. If thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in the integrity of heart and upright to do according to all that I've commanded thee, thou wilt keep my statutes, my judgments, I will establish the throne. Look at verse number 6. But if he shall turn from following me or your children and will not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you to go serve other gods and worship them, and then will I cut off Israel out of the land. And verse number 8, and at this house, which is very high, one that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss and say, why hath the Lord done this in the land to this house, attacking God? He shall answer, because they forsook the God. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years that Solomon had built two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Tonight, I'm just trying to remind us of responsible living. I'm responsible for you. You're responsible for your home, for your family, for your children, for your bus, for your class, for your usher station. You're responsible to have these college kids come from around the globe and welcome them into our church and to pray for them and get to know who they are and care for them and set a good testimony that when the door is open, you are always at your spot. We're responsible. I'm responsible to set a testimony that these young people can see. Single man, single lady, I think of you would not know who I'm talking about. I would not give the illustration. I think of a single lady, and she became very irresponsible because she was so lonely. Oh, I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely. I need a husband. I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. Everybody else has a husband, and everybody else has a family. I'm lonely. And I thought, dear lady, you are so agitated. You're going to make a wrong decision. And then a man came and said, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely, I'm lonely. I'm not happy, I'm depressed, I'm discouraged, I'm so lonely. Oh, sure enough, you don't have any idea who I'm talking about. They got hooked up together. And then they were miserable together. Oh, but then they had a baby and they were all fired up again. And then they got all depressed with one another again. And then this happened, and this happened. And then they're still together, but rarely in church, about divorced. Stand still, Stephanie. What a good song you sang. You see, if you're single, you're responsible to enjoy that journey. If you have children, we had one child, it wasn't that difficult. And then God allowed us to, 4 years later, maybe about 3 years later, 20 years later, 45, I'm trying to read her lips. Two, three and a half. How am I supposed to read? Now what, okay, I'm going to give you a new number. See if you can read it. What am I saying?
48 months.
You got it, 48 months. Wow. She's telling me I'm crazy. It's not a far trip, I'll tell you that right now. But we had two. We got adjusted. And then 13 months later, what did I say? 13 months. 13 months later, we had Tabitha. You know what? Three kids and a wife. Try that one again. Three kids for a man and a wife. Brother Alvin, Brother Martinez, give me an amen on that one, brother. All of a sudden, there's an adjustment. We don't even know how those two other kids are. They left us and the baby is with us. They can leave us. Are you listening, Brother Tim, Brother Ryan? You better enjoy the position God gave you. I've been praying so much for our senior class in high school. It's a large class. They're such a group. I'm praying for the junior class. See, they're upperclassmen now. And I could hardly wait to see the TK4 and the TK5. And I could hardly wait to see the mothers on Wednesday morning. They do one of two things. They cry. It is so fun to watch a lady cry. Oh, Brother Heath, you ought to come, brother. They let you off work, you ought to come. And to see these ladies cry, and the other ladies are over there saying, yes. Let's go to coffee. Takes about 2 minutes to get over the crying, I'll guarantee you that. I've talked to a lot of you mothers this morning and said, we can hardly wait for them to go back to school. We could hardly wait to give them back to you last May, but we're going to be excited to see them, I guarantee it. It sort of goes like this. These people got a house of God. I think I'll be done. On August the 20th, 2006, 18 years ago, we assembled this church for the last time over on Clyde Avenue. We had a brief service at 10 o'clock in the morning because we were coming here to have the service. And after singing a few songs and having prayer and thanking God for what he did on that property, we got up and out of our seats and the police closed the streets and we started walking down Clyde Avenue as a church family. The Spanish ministry was meeting in these buildings over here, but not in here. And we came down, eventually got on Laurie Avenue, and they're coming this way, and we're coming this way. And we passed one another as they went to the Clyde Avenue property, and they've been there for 18 years now, and we've come over here to this property. I'll never forget preaching that first Sunday morning. I was preaching from 1 Kings on the prayer of Solomon when they dedicated the temple. These texts right here. You know, God entrusted this building to our care. And I've been so overwhelmed with the fact that it's a 3,000 seat auditorium, and Sunday morning especially, it's generally pretty much packed in here. Not the side balconies, the bleacher seats I call them, but we have great crowds all summer. And it's only going to get better. We've averaged between most every week, we've had about 500 adults missing. And we've still had great attendance. And they're all coming back from vacation. But I'm so burdened, Brother Flood and Brother Reimers has a great fall campaign for us in October. But I'm going to ask them tomorrow about putting one more day in there as a warm-up day, called Friend Day. I like to pack all 3,000 seats on that Friend Day with our neighbors, our relatives, our friends, and pack this place out. And of course, pack the Sunday school at the same hour and pack the other property at the same hour. Not only do I want to have that sometime probably in September, latter part of September, But this Easter coming up, we've just missed 10,000 the last 2 years in a run. Won't it be great on Easter of 2025 to have 10,000 people on Easter Sunday? And see, literally thousands by the grace of God come to know Christ in 2025. How can that happen? God gave us a building. We are responsible to fill it, that my house may be filled. I'm asking you to begin to pray right now that God would put some friends on your heart. We'll just not just go for one. Give invitation. We'll have them here in a few weeks. The invitation cards. Come to Friend Day. Be my friend. I want you to be at church and preach the gospel and see God move in a special way. This world needs a friend. And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Who they need is not a new president. They need a friend called Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know what happens in this chapter? Okay, you got a house. Now you're responsible to keep it right, keep in my ways, walk in my truth. Don't neglect the law. Keep the statutes. You're responsible. I gave you a house. It took 20 years to get the building done. Well, it took us about 12. With all the city regulations and all the building and all the mishaps and all the things that took place and the reports that had to be given ahead of time and environmental impact reports that thick. And no one ever opened it up after we paid $500,000 for it. But God gave us a building. And by His grace, He paid for the building. Now let's keep it right. We dedicated this piano. Said, may it never be used for jazz or rock and roll. And we dedicated that piano. And we dedicated this pulpit. And we dedicated this choir. And we dedicated every single pew. Saturday night before we came in here, different men of the church came and prayed at every single spot. Whether there's people seated and whether they're not seated tonight. Because God gave us a building, a house. Don't tamper with it. Father, how we love your house. You gave us such a beautiful house, a wonderful house. And I believe we're close to going to that other house on the other side. And soon the trump of God will sound, and there are mansions being in their final construction right now. And those mansions are awaiting us in heaven. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And until we go to that mansion on the other side, may we do our very best to, from our tent, make this house important. May our lives and our tents, may we revolve around this house. Make this house priority. And Lord, I can promise these young couples, these young single adults and young people, and young married folks and these young children, I can promise them, they keep their lives surrounded around the house of God, they'll have a fulfilled life, a joyful life, a life where they meet an almighty God like the world does not know anything about. They'll find peace at the house of God. They'll find joy at the house of God. They'll find weeping and prayer at the house of God, because my house shall be called a house of prayer. Tonight, with our heads bowed, I want us to realize that 18 years ago, almost to the date, God gave us this house. I thank you for using it for youth conference, for pastors conference, for I Love My Church, for using it for Christmas musicals and Thanksgiving services, for campaigns. I want to thank you so much for using it for Watch Night services and Lord's tables, celebration. You're such a good church. Let's have a renewed desire as we head toward 20 years in this house to make these next 24 months the best.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.